Gottsian, J. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. March 11, 1905. Dear Sister Gottsian, I was glad a few days ago to receive a letter from you. We lost much time on our bookwork last summer, and I have been very busy for some time reading over the proofs and preparing the matter for Ministry of Healing. This has been very trying to my brain, and I have been obliged to be somewhat moderate in my letter writing. But I desire to keep up a correspondence with you. We are united together, with others, in bearing a responsibility, and we should communicate with each other frequently. There is an important work to be done in the place where you are. If we seek the Lord earnestly, He will teach us what to say and what to do as His agents to win souls to Christ. If we will only cultivate the kindness and tenderness and sympathy of Christ, He will make us a blessing. It has been my great desire to do all I possibly can for the sanitarium at Paradise Valley, that from it the very best influence may go out and may result in the salvation of souls. We must take up the work of the Lord disinterestedly. We must all be careful not to cast blame upon those who are trying to do the Lord's work, but rather seek to encourage them in what is commendable. Our work is to win souls. For this purpose, we, you and I, have united and pledged our interests before God. But we must deal lovingly and kindly with all. We must not get in a habit to blame or chide, for this tries people and does not help them. If it should be my privilege to visit the Paradise Valley Sanitarium, I desire that we may be united in the strong bonds of Christian union in seeking to bless all with whom we associate. We cannot set ourselves as a criterion to which others must conform. We will reveal a tenderness of heart and a whole-souled enthusiasm in promoting the happiness of all with whom we are connected. We have a duty to do in eliminating self from our plans and in feeling a personal responsibility to act as Christ would act in circumstances similar to those with which we are surrounded. Then we will impress the minds of others in such a way that God will be glorified. As followers of Christ, we should seek to make the most favorable impression upon the minds of all we have connection with, of the religion we profess, and to inspire noble thoughts. Some will be affected by our influence through time and through eternity. Those who are connected with our sanitariums must be educators. By pleasant words and kindly deeds, they are to make the gospel attractive. If we would teach others, we ourselves must daily learn lessons from Christ. There are some who do not comprehend the sacredness of the work of God. Those of the least ability, the most thoughtless, and even the indolent youth, especially demand our prayerful consideration. We need special wisdom to know how to help those who seem inconsiderate and thoughtless. Said David, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." Psalm 18, verse 35. In the work of applying ourselves to help others, we may gain most precious victories. We must devote ourselves with untiring zeal, with earnest fidelity, with self-denial, and with patience to the work of encouraging those who need to develop. Kind, encouraging words will do wonders. There are many who, if a constant, cheerful effort is put forth in their behalf, without fault-finding or continual chiding, will show themselves susceptible of improvement. The less we criticize others, the greater will be our influence over them for reformation. Let Christ-like kindness be enjoined upon every soul. There is a science in dealing with those who have special weakness in character. Those who are least objectionable, who are least in need of help, are likely to receive most of our attention. But there are others who may, by persevering effort in their behalf, be helped to become useful in the Lord's work. We must exercise wise discretion in dealing with those who seem to be ignorant and out of the way. We want broad views, that we may do the true medical missionary work, that we may exercise tact in dealing with minds. Bear in mind that they will respond to a patient, tender, loving interest. This work ranks equal in importance with the work of the gospel minister. We are to cooperate with the Lord Jesus in restoring the inefficient and the erring to intelligence and sacred purity. We are called by God to manifest an untiring, patient interest in the salvation of those who need divine polishing. Too many frequent, positive admonitions will do more harm than good. Let us pray and work with self-sacrificing zeal. God will not withhold wisdom from those who seek for it. He gives grace to one, that he in turn may impart it to some other needy soul.
Last night I seemed to be speaking these words before a company of teachers and students. My soul is stirred by the instruction given me. The mind is to act intelligently, not to follow inclination, but to bring all the actions into harmony with the divine law. We may be opposed by those who would have their sins vindicated, but teach the word of the Lord and leave selfish authority out of all discipline. The life and the teachings of Christ are intensely practical. They are fitted to deal with the actual duties of life. They enjoin patience in the performance of all necessary duties, whether agreeable or disagreeable. Whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians 3, verse 17. This is the sanctification that is needed in every institution that shall be established for the healing of the souls and bodies of those who are suffering from the malady of sin. All the requirements of God's law are to make the character complete in Christ, he who knew no sin. In the Christian graces, Bible truth is to be exemplified before a sinful world. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1, verse 12 to 14. Such is the sanctification of the soul, through the operation of the Holy Spirit of God. A new nature is implanted. The human is made a partaker of the divine, having escaped the corruptions that are in the world through lust. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they, by seeing your good works, may glorify your Father which is in heaven.